Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Had an interesting rally last night in front of the Alamo. I happened to be driving by there at the time and saw it. It was opposing the Iraq War, a group called TexansForPeace.org. We'll be talking about that a little bit later this morning in regard to some of my observations about this group after looking at their website. But it was a very peaceful, orderly demonstration last night in front of the Alamo talking about the futility of the Iraq War. I certainly agree with those folks on that issue. And I think what we're going to continue to see in the days ahead is a left-right coalition building around the country against this present involvement in Iraq. A number of other items to take a look at in the news today. This business of Larry Craig, the Idaho Republican United States Senator, being arrested on June the 11th in a restroom in Minneapolis, St. Paul, entered a guilty plea on August 8th. Now he's saying that he should not have done that. What's behind this? That will make for a very interesting story as well. We're going to take a look at a little bit of this from the Minneapolis Star Tribune as they have that presently posted. Does this indicate that Craig is a part of this larger network in the Republican Party that Alan Stang was talking about in the show some days ago? That's hard to say, but it is interesting that Larry Craig has been tied up formally as the most interesting figure in the United States Senate as it relates to working for Mitt Romney of Massachusetts in the latter's presidential effort. Mitt Romney, of course, has been very involved historically in promoting the homosexual rights movement in the Republican Party. Now, as he wants to run for president, he's backing away from a lot of that and is trying to reposition himself as someone who is a more family-friendly candidate. Alan Stang is not here this morning to answer this question, but it would be interesting to explore this whole business of the Larry Craig connection to the Mitt Romney campaign, and one wonders if that has anything at all to do with this whole situation in which the senator now finds himself embroiled. We're told by the Minneapolis St. Paul newspaper, the Star Tribune, this morning that the Idaho Republican arrested June 11th in a Minneapolis St. Paul restroom entered a guilty plea on August the 8th. He pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct in this month in Minnesota after being arrested by a plainclothes police officer investigating complaints of lewd conduct in a men's restroom at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. Craig denied the police account of what occurred and said he erred in pleading guilty. Quote, "At the time of this incident, I complained to the police that they were misconstruing my actions," unquote, he said in a statement Monday afternoon. Quote, "I was not involved in any inappropriate conduct. I should have had the advice of counsel in resolving this matter. In hindsight, I should not have pled guilty. I was trying to handle this matter myself quickly and expeditiously," unquote. Craig was arrested at the airport on June 11th, according to Roll Call, a Capitol Hill newspaper. According to police reports, Craig kept watching the undercover police officer through a crack in the bathroom stall, Roll Call said. Craig then entered the next door stall and placed his luggage against the opening under the stall door. Quote, "My experience has shown that individuals engaging in lewd conduct use their bags to block the view from the front of their stall," unquote, said the officer, Sergeant Dave Karsnia. The report continued, quote, "At 12:16 hours, Craig tapped his right foot. I recognize this as a signal used by persons wishing to engage in lewd conduct. Craig tapped his toes several times and moves his foot closer to my foot. The presence of others did not seem to deter Craig as he moved his right foot so that it touched the side of my left foot, which was within my stall area." The report's unquote. The report said that Craig swiped his hand beneath the stall divider several times and that Karsnia showed his police identification under the stall. Who's telling the truth in this whole thing? Very, very interesting, but it is noted by the Minneapolis St. Paul papers that Larry Craig has been one of presidential candidate Mitt Romney's top Senate reporters, serving as a Senate liaison for the campaign since February. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas at RBN. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley will join me for the last hour of the broadcast today from Washington, D.C. He, of course, at one time was with WFAX up in Washington, was with him for 20 years with his Focus on Israel show. And, of course, Dale later found himself being bounced off of that network because of the pressures being placed upon WFAX by the Israeli lobby. Now we have a situation all this time later where Salem Communications, I understand, is in the process of trying to acquire WFAX. That would be consistent with the way that Salem Communications has operated in other areas, especially as it relates to Dale Crowley's book, which was picked up by a book publishing company, Christian Company, allegedly, that is a subsidiary of Salem. They have subsequently, according to Pastor Crowley, not done what they said that they would do in regard to the promotion and distribution of his publication. Why? I think the implications are very clear. But at any rate, the good news is that Dale Crowley has access to the Republic Broadcasting Network. And the Republic Broadcasting Network, in turn, has a very wide audience. And we will be featuring Dale Crowley on the show as a regular beginning today, Wednesday, the 29th of August, where he'll be with us from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning central. Really looking forward to having him again as a regular on this show. And we'll be looking at some of Dale Crowley's posts on an ongoing basis, which you can find at www.crowleysspotlightonisrael.com. That's www.crowleysspotlightonisrael.com. As we look at the days ahead, there are a number of things that continue to come to the forefront. One is this interesting situation that I saw in front of the Alamo last night. Oh, I would say that there were approximately a couple of hundred people gathered there in front of the Alamo and at curbside as I was driving on South Alamo Street, leaving the downtown area to go back to my home. Looking at these fine folks, it was a very peaceful demonstration. Did not see anyone there who was behaving inappropriately who looked like a really strange person. So I got out of my car, had a police officer who was very nice to me and who told me that I could temporarily park in a loading zone so that I might go over and spend 10 or 15 minutes with the folks who were gathered in front of the Alamo and at curbside. I happen to have in my possession quite a number of copies of my recent post for the American Free Press of June 25th. That article dealt with Rudolph Giuliani and the war on terror and the war on the unborn, and my observations about the way in which the Christian right was compromising its own witness by being involved with someone like Giuliani, who is a clear repudiation of all of their views on social issues, but who promotes what they want promoted when it comes to the war on terror and the whole Jewish neoconservative effort worldwide on behalf of Israel. I was able to distribute quite a number of copies of that article last night. I think I had about half a dozen, and a number of the people who were there said that they were going to check us out online, both the Republic Broadcasting Network as well as the American Free Press. I made it very clear to those that I chatted with last night at this rally being held by TexansForPeace.org that I was a conservative, or a constitutionalist, more properly understood, that I was not identified as a leftist or a pacifist, that I had concerns about this war not simply on the basis of the Middle East and what I think is the wrong policy. morning in regard to our Skype connection, so I'm going to go by telephone for a while here at Mark Dankoff's America. I was saying during these last few minutes that we had an interesting conversation last night with some of the folks who were gathered in front of the Alamo for the Texans for Peace demonstration against the war in Iraq. First thing I'd like to say, of course, as I was talking about for the last several minutes, is that the demonstration was a peaceful one. I would say that there were probably a couple of hundred people there anyway. I managed to meet up with the press secretary of Texans for Peace, told her who I was. She was very thrilled to hear that Ray McGovern was on this show yesterday with the Republic Broadcasting Network. I told her about RBN and the American Free Press and was able to distribute at the rally approximately 6 copies of my AFP front page post from June 25th on Rudolph Giuliani and his ill-fated, morally compromised arrangement in alliance with many members of the Christian right. I indicated to those who talked to me at the rally that I was not a leftist and was not a pacifist, that I opposed this war because I thought it was the wrong thing to be doing in the Middle East when it relates to our foreign policy, that I believe the war to be unconstitutional because it had not been constitutionally declared by the Congress. I saw it as one more evidence of a chief executive run amok in regard to utilizing a false pretense to involve this country in a war that was not in its interest and that also circumvented the constitutional procedures for how one goes to war. And then finally, informally, I was talking with a young man down there last night who, in addition to his anti-war placards, was also holding up a placard demonstrating on behalf of unborn human life. Very interesting fellow. We chatted at some length. I told him that I was a Christian pastor, that I was pro-life, that I did believe in the protection of the lives of the unborn and the innocent, and that he and I had potentially more to talk about, potentially had more in common than some of the people who were demonstrating in front of the Alamo, who were saying, I think, many of the right things about this war with Iraq, but maybe are not on the same page with this young man and me when it comes to the issue of unborn life. But one of the things that I observed last night in thinking through this issue again, especially as I was looking at the Texans for Peace website this morning, is that there are many fine people who say the same things that we do about the war that are not necessarily with us at all on other issues as it relates to big government, and in many respects are not with us in terms of what we used to refer to as a certain brand of traditional Christian morality coming out of the Protestant Reformation and, of course, the Roman Catholic tradition as well. So this is a fascinating business to watch this whole anti-war coalition building because the people that I saw last night were certainly demonstrating peacefully. There were no problems of any sort that I could see last evening with any of the people who gathered there. And yet, once again, we see the way in which it is important as constitutionalists to show where we agree with the left on the war, but at the same time to say that we are not leftists or pacifists, that we oppose this war, this particular war, because we think it's the wrong thing to be doing in the Middle East, that it's an indication of a flawed American foreign policy in the Middle East, and that it is a war that was not followed up at its inception with constitutional procedures to give the Constitution of the United States a chance to work in regard to a formally issued congressional declaration of war. These are just a few of the things that come to my mind this morning as I think about the Texans for Peace rally at the Alamo last night. I did not set out to attend this rally. Had no idea that it was going to happen. I was simply driving home last night a little early from an event in downtown San Antonio held elsewhere and saw these folks in front of the Alamo, got permission from the police to stop for a few minutes and to chat with some of these individuals and to distribute literature pertaining to both the Republic Broadcasting Network and the American Free Press. Hopefully that will mean that some of the fine folks who were down there at the rally last night will check us out online. And we'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley joins me at 9 o'clock this morning Central. Stay tuned.
Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr. will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time from Washington, D.C. You can find his website at Crowley's Spotlight on Israel.com. That's www.Crowley's Spotlight on Israel.com. This leads to my next observation about the rally last night in front of the Alamo. The so-called Texans for Peace rally being held in support of the idea that we should not be in Iraq and should be getting out of Iraq. I agree with that position, folks. That is the principled old right position, the old right's constitutional position on this war or any other war that does not meet the constitutional test in regard to when this country should be involved in a foreign conflict. Having said that, I was looking at the Texans for Peace site this morning and saw several things that indicate that, of course, in other areas, as members of the constitutional right, we would have some issues with the Texans for Peace organization. This gets back into something that Mark Lynn of the American Free Press and I have talked about from time to time,
And that is that when it comes to this conflict in the Middle East, we are on the same page with many of our brothers and sisters on the left when it comes to the ill-advised character of this whole situation in the Middle East. Having said that, I think we need to recognize at the same time that the philosophical basis for our opposition to this war is not always the same, as that found by some of our fine brethren on the left. The other thing that we need to be upfront about in regard to these differences is that many times there are those who oppose this conflict in the Middle East and who do so honestly, who do not always explain the context in which they think this war has happened. Now, I, of course, was only there for a handful of minutes last night, did not have an opportunity to engage in any in-depth interviews with the press director of Texans for Peace. I've contacted her about having the head of her organization on this show, and we're in the process of putting that together for you for Mark Dankoff's America. But it would be interesting to have taken a poll of the people who were down there last night to see why they believe this country got involved in this conflict to begin with. Was it for the oil companies? Was it for the bankers? Was it for the Israeli lobby? Or a combination of all three? Would be interesting to see what all the people gathered down there last night would have said in regard to a breakdown of this demographically. Polls are always interesting things when you've got a good scientific random sample and when the questions being asked are fair and balanced and are not questions designed to lead people into certain sorts of responses. Assuming that we could get all that covered in terms of a scientific poll, it would be curious to see the extent to which the folks who were down there last night would say that the American policy in Iraq is a part of a flawed policy related to what? The Constitution? Failure to follow it? That would seem to me to be an obvious thing here that would come up. Number two, the notion that there are corporate forces that profit from war, who could care less about the Constitution or individual liberty, who are very much concerned for their profit margins. We think, of course, of some of the armaments manufacturers in that regard when we begin to discuss that topic. That certainly, one would suspect, would have been a factor in the thinking of a number of people that were involved in this rally last night. But then there's this whole question of Israel. How many of the people gathered in front of the Alamo last night representing the Texans for Peace organization would say that America's present involvement in the Middle East is largely due to support for the Zionist state of Israel, and that that support should be modified or changed? Again, impossible to know what would have been said last night by the folks gathered there. There was not an opportunity to do an effective, legitimate, impartial survey of all these people to get a scientific reading as to what particular ideology or brand or mixture of ideologies went into their total decision to be involved in last night's rally. But again, I think, as Mark Lenn of the American Free Press has observed from time to time, we're talking about ideological differences between left and right among those who are together in opposition to this war. At one level, I think that this means that those of us who are constitutionalists in the old American right tradition can work with liberals and leftists who take the same position that we do on this war. But I don't think that that means for one minute that we need to ignore the fact that there are significant philosophical differences between the constitutional right and the left on this subject that relate to what we see as a seamless garment of ideas stemming from the notion that either the Constitution reigns supreme or the Leviathan state reigns supreme. Pretty difficult to support the Leviathan state in other areas and then to turn around and to say, gee, these guys have acted irresponsibly in getting us involved in this foreign war. When you support the Leviathan state and support the notion that government needs to be involved in all kinds of areas that the founding fathers of this country would have said no to, this creates other philosophical and practical problems down the road. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined by Dale Crowley at 9 o'clock this morning, coming to us from Washington, D.C. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best 4-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr. joins me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time from Washington, D.C. You can find Dale Crowley's website at crowleysspotlightonisrael.com. crowleysspotlightonisrael.com. Very pleased to have Dale Crowley back in the radio gig on at least a part-time, full-time basis with me. He's been a very, very essential voice in this whole question of Christian Zionism for many, many years, including a 20-year stint at WFAX up in Washington, D.C. It is very regrettable that they have forced him off of that network. Dale Crowley is not only a responsible commentator, he's a very decent human being, and he's one of the real giants, in my judgment, on the real American right. So when we have an opportunity to avail ourselves of someone like this, we do the same thing that the American Free Press has done historically. We give Dale Crowley a forum, and we do it cheerfully and gratefully and sincerely. I'm looking forward to having him working with me weekly for a one-hour segment. I would like to have had him for two, but Dale would like to break in again with just a one-hour segment on Wednesdays, 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time. Maybe downstream he'll feel like being involved with me for a two-hour segment. We'll maybe see what happens with that in coming weeks and months. Number of items to get back to in the news this morning. Chief among them is a new article in the Current Culture Wars. As Dr. E. Michael Jones' publication, we're looking at the July-August 2007 edition. There is a front cover story entitled The Betrayal of the Christians in the Middle East. This has been penned by Jeannie Conti, if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. Jeannie Conti is from Columbus, Ohio. She's a photographer. This is quite an article. It goes on for quite a number of pages, and I wanted to get into the whole business this morning of sharing with you some of the specifics of that article. We'd like to begin, or she begins her piece by saying that, quote, God is love, the title of Pope Benedict XVI's first encyclical, is both a definition of the Holy Trinity and a Bible verse. Quote, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him, unquote, 1 John 4:16. The Pope calls that passage, says Jeannie Conti, from the Gospel of St. John, the heart of the Christian faith. In that same verse, Pope Benedict points out that, quote, we have come to know and believe in the love God has for us, unquote. Knowing this and believing this is our refuge when the world goes awry and our hope for times to come. It is something to keep in mind as we walk on unfamiliar ground and discover at times finding frightening facts about what is happening to our suffering fellow Christians in the Holy Lands. A ninth-generation Christian Palestinian, Dr. Abiata, laments that, quote, few outside the Middle East even know we, Christian Palestinians, exist, and those who do conveniently forget about us, unquote. Atta left Bethlehem for higher education in Lebanon, but was, as all Palestinians who leave, denied the right to return to the land of his birth. He tells us that after World War II, Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, was 80% Christian. Now he says that percentage hovers around 20% at the very most and are rapidly shrinking. In Iraq, the situation is similarly bleak. Iraq's minority Christian community, estimated at 800,000 on the eve of the U.S. invasion, has already been decimated by threats, fear, and intimidation over the past 4 years, and as many as half, probably much more, of Iraq's Christians are now living outside the country, according to the latest report of the U.S. International Commission on Religious Freedom. Quote, when the modern state of Israel was established, Professor Atta writes, there were about 400,000 Christian Palestinians. 2 years ago, the number was down to 80,000. Now it's down to 60,000. At that rate, in a few years, there will be none of us left, unquote. In Iraq, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom said in its recent annual report that since the U.S. invasion, quote, Iraq's religious freedom ranks among the lowest in the world. According to many Middle East experts, Christians in Iraq enjoyed much more religious tolerance in Saddam Hussein's Iraq than in many other Middle East locales, unquote. In other words, when the United States invaded Iraq, the Christians there lost their protected status. Iraqis, seeing the U.S. as invaders and therefore as enemies, linked Iraqi Christians with the U.S. military. Now the report explains, quote, there are innumerable reports of abductions, beatings, extrajudicial executions, torture, and rape perpetrated on Christians by para-governmental factions. Such organizations frequently operate with impunity and often the complicity of the U.S.-backed government, unquote. Recently, says Jeannie Conti, a number of northern Iraqi bishops sent an urgent plea to an international conference held in Sharm el-Sheikh, whose aim was to make a plan for security for Iraq. Asia News quotes them as saying, quote, we are urgently asking the entire international community, the participants at the Sharm el-Sheikh conference, the coalition forces, and the Iraqi political representatives to intervene without delay to protect innocent Iraqis, their property, their rights, and their personal freedom, unquote. They further affirmed that, quote, Christians are authentic Iraqi people, unquote, and pleaded for their protection, even though Iraq's Christians are now seen by many Iraqis as a part of the Christian, quote-unquote, enemy invaders. The Chicago Tribune of May 8, 2007 notes, quote, Christians are fleeing in droves from the southern Baghdad district of Daraa after Sunni insurgents told them they would be killed unless they converted to Islam or left, unquote. This exodus began mid-April in 2007 after a religious edict issued by Sunni Muslims offering all Christians a blunt choice, quote, convert to Islam and pay an ancient Islamic tax, about $200, or leave within 24 hours with no possessions. Kidnappings and shootings add to the dilemma, prompting hundreds of Christian families to flee, unquote. Quote, they have talked about a security plan of bringing peace, says Bishop Shlimon Warduni, a bishop of the ancient Chaldean Patriarchy, referring to President Bush's strategy of sending more troops to Iraq known as the Surge. But nothing has arrived here, he says. This is a full-scale persecution. In all Iraq's history, we never faced a like situation, unquote. Gini Conti goes on to say that on April the 24th, 2007, Asia News reported an urgent appeal for Monsignor Luis Sacco of Kirkuk, the Iraqi president of the Council of Catholic Churches Committee for Interreligious Dialogue. In Iraq, he wrote, Christians are dying, disappearing under continued persecution, threats, and violence carried out by extremists who are leaving us no choice. Conversion or exile, unquote. Reports of car bombs and the death of Christians in the Kurdish area, until now untouched by this violence, lend force to Monsignor Sacco's declaration regarding, quote, the tragic situation, unquote. Monsignor Sacco goes on to say, quote, we can no longer be silent. We have to remind the world of the importance of the Christian presence in Iraq. Christians are one of the oldest constituents of the Iraqi people. Since the beginning, they have incorporated with the other constituents like Kurds, Turkmen, and Yazidis, playing a pioneering role in the building of the civilization of Iraq, unquote. He tells that they're living peacefully within the Islamic culture for the past 14 centuries. Quote, today they want to continue this existence, he says, in the spirit of love and under the Charter of Human Rights, unquote. In retrospect, says Gini Conti, it is interesting to look again at the statement of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops made on November the 13th, 2002, before we entered the Iraqi War. Heartbreaking in its accuracy, it predicts that, quote, the use of military force in Iraq could bring incalculable costs for a civilian population that has suffered so much from war, repression, and a debilitating embargo. In assessing whether collateral damage is proportionate, the lives of Iraqi men, women, and children should be valued, as we would the lives of members of our own family and the citizens of our own country, unquote. The plight of Catholics in the Middle East is no different than what is happening to the other Christians in the area where Jesus walked, and where biblical stories unfolded. Among the Christians of the Holy Land, says Gini Conti, some are descendants of the very ones who followed Jesus. Many are fleeing. The Pope recently asked them to resist the temptation to leave. Because in Israel, the indigenous Catholics are Palestinian, their situation has been distorted in American eyes. Catholics and other ancient Christian faiths in the Holy Lands live among the Arabic peoples there. Of course, the original Christians were mostly Jews, but some were also Greeks. Through the centuries under Ottoman rule, they learned to live among the Muslims and work beside them in what was mostly a peaceful arrangement. The Christians were usually among the most educated, and it was they who kept the Holy Scriptures for posterity, translating them into other languages, especially Arabic, in order to spread the gospel to their neighbors. Gradually, there were some intermarriages, and the Christian people became known generically as Arabs, but more specifically as Palestinians, since Palestine was their homeland, just as it was Jesus' homeland. According to the Catholic administrative offices in Jerusalem, quote, the Church of Jerusalem is today a small and divided church. Catholics, six churches, Latins, Melkites, Maronites, Syrians, Armenians, and Chaldeans. Orthodox, five churches there, Greek Orthodox, Armenian, Coptic, Syrian, and Ethiopian. And Protestants, two Coptic, Syrian, and Ethiopian. Two churches, Anglicans and Lutherans. For all of these churches, this jurisdiction covers Israel, Palestine, and Jordan. For the Latin Patriarchate, we add Cyprus, unquote. All told, Christians, Catholics, Orthodox, and Protestants number about 350,000 souls. All consider themselves the heirs of the first Christian communities. They thank God, says Gini Conti, that relations among them are good. According to the latest figures available from the Chancellor of the Catholic Diocese of Jerusalem, Christians in Jordan number about 200,000, in the Palestinian territories 50,000, and in Israel about 200,000. Catholics altogether comprise about 180,000 souls. The Latin Patriarch counts about 90,000 in the three countries of Israel, Palestine, Jordan, and Cyprus. The Greek Catholic Melkites have the same number for the three countries. The Latin Patriarchy, Diocese of Jerusalem, was established in 1099 by the Crusaders. Pope Clement VI in 1342 made the Franciscan friars the official custodians of the holy places of the Holy Land, a task they carried out for the next 500 years, in which they continue to administer even today. However, says Gini Conti, in 1847, Pope Pius IX reestablished a residential Latin patriarch, say, in Jerusalem. The present patriarch, H.B. Michael Sabah, comes from Nazareth, as did Jesus. On July 1999, he was elected as international president for the peace movement Pax Christi International, a weighty responsibility that he shoulders and administers with an uncommon Christian love. From Jerusalem, says Gini Conti, Patriarch Sabah asked in his 2000 Easter homily, quote, "In our Holy Land, will our leaders and the international community ever be able to put an end to this dysfunction? In itself, the issue is simple. Two peoples are at war with each other, and one of them occupies the house of the other. To put it simply, the solution would be for each one to occupy his own house, the Israelis their house, and the Palestinians theirs. To be sure, fear has complicated matters, which has further complicated things that were simple enough in themselves. Given that reality, we believe that the dysfunction will continue as long as someone occupies the house of someone else. And as long as this dysfunction continues in the Holy Land, the region and the world will suffer from it. We must take the risk of making peace and put an end to the occupation, each one in his own house, in order to begin the healing process in our land, in the region, and in the world," unquote. Father Sabah is certainly not alone in his assessment, says Gini Conti. Jews for Justice in the Middle East publishes a booklet now in its third edition called The Origin of the Palestinian-Israeli Conflict. It is a corroboration of the statement by the Latin Patriarch told by Jews explaining the root of the terrible situation in the Middle East. In its conclusion, it states, quote, "Like all other colonial enterprises, Zionism was based on the total disregard of the rights of indigenous inhabitants. As such, it is morally indefensible. And, as previously stated, all subsequent crimes, and there have been many on both sides, inevitably follow from the original injustice to the Palestinians. In the long run, only by admitting their culpability and making amends can Israelis live with their neighbors in peace. Only then can the centuries-old Jewish tradition of being a people of high moral character be restored. And only in this way can real security, peace, and justice come to this ancient land. As the periodic bloodshed continues in the Middle East, the search for an equitable solution must come to grips with the root cause of the conflict. Conventional wisdom is that even if both sides are at fault, the Palestinians are terrorists, quote-unquote, who have no point of view worth listening to. Our position, however, is that the Palestinians have a real grievance. Their homeland for over 1,000 years was taken without their consent and mostly by force during the creation of the State of Israel, and all subsequent crimes on both sides inevitably follow from this original injustice," unquote. Here too, says Gini Conti, distinctly different but knowledgeable sources acknowledge the real root of the problems in the Middle East. Zionist Jews, unfortunately financed in large part by the United States, took what belonged to the Palestinians, their land, lives, dignity, health, reputations, and their country. They took the lives of men, women, and children, their homes. They took possessions, uprooted vineyards, took water rights, drove the people by machine guns from their homes to other countries. And they continue in inhumane ways to make it impossible for Palestinians to survive. These Palestinians, whose people had lived there for hundreds of years, some from the time of Christ, have had their homes demolished and then are given no construction permits to rebuild. They are denied access to places of employment. Vineyards are repeatedly uprooted. Water rights are severely curtailed, if offered at all. Their men and boys are taken to prisons with no right of appeal. The list goes on and on. Jewish philosopher Avraham Noam, author of Peace in the Middle East, laments that within the American Jewish community, quote, "there is little willingness to face the fact that the Palestinian Arabs have suffered a monstrous historic injustice. Until this is recognized, discussion of the Middle East crisis cannot even begin," unquote. However, says Gini Conti, more and more Jewish people, especially in Israel, decry the situation and try to help turn the tide away from the horrendous treatment of Palestinians. A few of these, are the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, Jews for Justice in the Middle East, Zakrat's Learning Center, ZNet, Jews for Justice for Palestinians, and the Jewish Voice for Peace. Among helpful books in this understanding, according to Jeannie Conti, are The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine by Ilan Papp, written by a Jewish academic who, as John Pilger said, is, quote, Israel's bravest, most principled, most incisive historian, unquote, and also Bitter Harvest by Sami Hadawi, Caravan Books, 1979, this one written by a Palestinian Christian who lived through the beginnings of Israel. Professor Joseph Levine, professor of philosophy at The Ohio State University, said in 2002 in an article published in the Columbus Dispatch, quote, with more than $3 billion per year, now $5 billion of U.S. taxpayer money going to support the occupation, it is especially incumbent on American Jews to speak up and demand a cessation of U.S. economic and diplomatic support for Israel until it finally agrees to abide by international law. We'll be back with Jeannie Conti's article. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you on RBN. Stay tuned.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined by Dale Crowley this morning at 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time, coming to us from Washington, D.C. You can find his website at www.crowleysspotlightonisrael.com. You know, we've been taking a look this morning at Gini Conti's essay for the current edition of E. Michael Jones' Culture Wars. That's the July-August 2007 edition. It's entitled The Betrayal of the Christians of the Middle East. We'll be getting back to that article in the next hour. You know, this is the time of the broadcast when I ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, we need you, and we need you as never before. Please contact us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719, or at the or on the web at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Please support us with your gifts to the extent that that's possible. I'd like to put in that same plea for the American Free Press. You can give them a call at 1-800-699-NEWS. That's 1-800-699-NEWS. The American Free Press is America's last real newspaper, to quote what Mark Glenn has said about it. They need your support. They need it not only in terms of gifts and additional subscriptions, but the AFP Book Division has a lot of very fine offerings. My friend Mark Glenn is there. Michael Collins Piper is there. Matthias Chang is there, and some other fine authors who have put together a set of offerings that we need to avail ourselves of in the future, not simply for our knowledge, but for AFP's benefit, because the book division goes a long way toward providing the capital that AFP needs to continue their operation. And last night when I was at the at the Texans for Peace rally in front of the Alamo, just happened to drop in on it, did not plan on being there, I was able to distribute copies of my recent article for the American Free Press and also to give people copies of Mark Glenn's recent research on the USS Liberty. That was possible only because AFP is out there and they're operating. In order to continue facilitating their operating, we need to be behind them and behind them to the maximum possible extent. That's true for supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's true of our support of the American Free Press. Thirdly, of course, we get into the whole business of presidential offerings during this election season. Who out there, folks, if you really oppose this war from a constitutional and principled perspective, who else out there is in this race other than Congressman Ron Paul? The answer is clear. There is no one else. He's going to be running in the Republican primaries. We need to get behind him, and we need to be behind him now. As I've said many times, and I happen to know something about this because I was a third-party candidate in a U.S. Senate race in Delaware in 2000, early money is very significant in the political business. Why? Because you need the early media coverage and the early operations that enable you to gain a foothold for future primaries and caucuses. Ron Paul has the beginnings of that foothold, but we need to provide him with even more resources. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Of the Tiger.
With recent